song? Just one more time.
Of course.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the witch is
Sam,
dead.
Sam, Sam, that's enough. Play the other one.
Alright everyone, welcome to episode 98 of the Roker Report podcast with me, Simon Walsh, and what I'm going to dub the Dream Team, Luke Bowley.
Hello.
And Michael Graham.
Hello.
Pretty much the regulars now.
Pretty much, everyone else has just abandoned us.
I know.
Even Dave, actually I haven't actually heard anything from Dave for about 6 years, I think. God knows
I've what's forgotten what he sounds like.
So have I.
Well... He's doing a grand old job in his absence.
Luke's superior to like Dave and everywhere. He's everywhere though. It's almost like a Dave plus, isn't
Dave
he?
Plus.
Dave Jarvu.
Dave Jarvu. No. I and in light of what Luke has just said, I would like to take back what I just said about him.
Yeah.
Right. We do usually start with three big points, but I've got nothing for this. There's nothing that really feels particularly newsworthy.
Nah.
So unless you guys have.
I think after last week we've decided to... there was enough news last week to...
to last us the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to have any more news for a little while.
No. Well, no points. Just like Chelsea away. Another seamless transition from Walsh. Chelsea away, 2-1 defeat, Di Canio's first game, plenty to talk about. So, the Di Canio era is up and running. What did we think of it in comparison to the dying embers of the Martin O'Neill era? An improvement, about the same, worse?
I think you'd have to see an improvement. The first half we were really superb. One of the best sort of first half performances we've produced for some time. We just looked a completely different team than what we've looked in recent weeks. We pressed Chelsea really well. We created the better chances. We actually looked like we had some kind of attacking impetus. A very impressive first half. It wasn't just a case of, you know, just the manager coming in with more fight. To give the team more fight. He genuinely looked like he'd come in with new ideas and given the team something new. Which is what really impressed me.
Yeah, I think that Luke isn't wholly wrong, to be perfectly honest with you. In fact, he's much less wrong than he normally is in these things. I just think that he gave us life. It just looked like it actually looked like a team again who actually thought that, you know, they could win. They knew what they had to do. They had some kind of a plan, and it just looked like a team who were just willing to actually move. There were people moving. In a red and white shirt, actual people moving.
it did seem like there was, I think both are obviously very valid points. And it did seem like he had the new ideas and things like that. And there were some things we hadn't really seen or considered. Like Larson on the left and things like that. He didn't really have particularly any impact whatsoever, but it was a stab at what he may want to do. Like, that's an idea that O'Neill would never have done. Whether it did it work, well, it's debatable. But it's an idea, at least.
Yeah.
Take him out of the middle where he hasn't been particularly stellar. If you are going to shoehorn him in, put it on a wide position.
Mm.
So there was that. I think another thing that I really kind of enjoyed in the first half was Sessegnon, who looked... I thought he looked excellent in the first half, and then I think he just stayed in the dressing room at half time. He's like a man off in the second half, but in the first half, the way he was dropping deep to collect the ball and then play it on and get himself forward is a really basic tactic that we just never seem to have bothered with before.
What I noticed with him was that, you know, the main reason that he's like here and not at a huge sort of like a team somewhere playing vastly massive games is because he takes a too many, like when he actually has the ball, he always wants either like extra touch or like tiny amounts of like time, and then everything's gone. Whereas like here, he just had the ball, he moved it forward, and then he moved himself forward. There wasn't a single part of his game that he actually wasted. You know, every single movement of his was actually used, rather than just, oh, you know, I'll just hang on to it. Shall I pass it? No, I'll hang on to it again. And then, while he's thinking about all of this normally, they've got everybody back, and it's all gone. Whereas, like, here, all he wanted to do was take the ball to the goal. That was all that he was actually thinking about doing.
So, I completely agree with that. I thought he was, in the first half, he was just really excellent. Much less ponderous than usual, and the thing that impressed me was just how well him and Wickham linked up. Wickham, you know, he fought very hard. He perhaps didn't have the best quality in front of goal, but he was the two of them just linked up really well. Wickham held the ball up well, and that's something that I think could be really, without Fletcher, that's something that could be really crucial in these last few games. As for his second half performance, where he was a lot quieter, obviously, I think it was possibly just more down to the way Sunderland came out in the second half in general, where perhaps they were maybe a little too tired to keep the pressing game they tried in the first half, and they tried to sit deep, and it just never really quite worked out in the second half.
Yeah, I think there definitely was a thought of, let's hold on to the lead, rather than kind of a... just go out and do what you did in the first half. And whilst I agree with Di Canio on the fitness aspect, that we aren't, he says we aren't the fittest team, and I think that's been abundantly clear all season, it seemed to wilt earlier than usual, so I'm not really putting too much stock into that. It was as soon as the second half started.
Yeah, but they put like much more into it than like normal too. For the first half, they were just all over the place, and they were running, they were actually sprinting places. They put loads into it, so they obviously got, like, a more knackered, sort of like sooner and everything, but I think that it also hurt the way that we actually started the half. We had a corner, we thought it was all going well, and then we just had that, a smack to the balls, really, wasn't it, the way that half, and I think that took the life out of us more than really anything like out else. It wasn't just the goal, but the way that it was scored.
That equaliser was just the most sort of just depressingly. Because all you could do was just watch it roll into the corner of the net, and it was in slow motion. You know, you saw Danny Rose fall over on the line. And it just rolled just slowly into the bottom corner, and there was nothing we could do about it. And to then concede the second quite unfortunately quickly afterwards. I mean, I agree with you, Mike. It was just a bit of a blow that we couldn't quite come back for. And it is a shame that we maybe didn't show anything else in the second half after to try and get an equaliser. But on the other hand, you know, we are playing a very good Chelsea team who are going to keep the ball a lot better than us, and who, you know, it's always going to be hard to get back into a game like that against.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much one of them ones where you think to yourself, like, against a lesser team, we might have done better, like, results-wise. I don't know why, but, you know, I just got the impression, like, when we were 1-0 up, in my mind I was thinking, you know, this is 3-0 against Stoke, or something like that. So it definitely provides confidence for the rest of the season, anyway. Because we know now that he can get that out of them, if need be.
Yeah.
Well, you'd hope that he does every week, like, but...
And that's the thing, we can't nail our clothes to the mast yet and say that this is the new Sunderland and this is how they're going to play. You know, we need to see how they are in the upcoming matches before we really look at this, you know. For example, I mean, in the upcoming games, if we can produce a similar kind of performance to the first half, then, you know, we're looking very good in the running. But, you know, there's still a little bit to go before we decide whether or not what we've looked at is a new Sunderland. But there's definitely a lot of positives to take from that first half performance, more than we can take from any of the last 7 or 8 games under O'Neill.
Two that came in from the blue were Kilgallen and Wickham. Surprised? And what did you make of them?
Kilgallen was a massive surprise. I wasn't expecting that at all. But the two of them, I thought Wickham put in a lot of effort. You know, he's definitely the closer, the sort of, he's more the striker DiCanio wants than Graham.
Yeah.
He's a lot pierced, yeah, he's a lot tougher up front, and he will keep the ball very well. And he was possibly lacking a little bit of quality, but I thought he put in a lot of effort and linked up well with the players around him. So I was very happy with Wickham. Kilgallen, maybe he's in the second half, he struggled a little bit more. Was it Torres was it O'Shea or him for the first goal?
Was it not Rose?
Could it have been Rose?
Rose wouldn't have been out on the right, Bardsley.
No, it was Rose because it came from like our corner, so no, Rose was back.
Yeah,
I think so. Anyway, was how I see it, like in my head.
Yeah, right there. Yeah. Well, whoever, you know, for that goal, possibly could have defended better. But, yeah, I thought Kilgallen did okay, actually. Probably one of his better games in the Sunderland shirt, but we know he can play, produce a good performance every now and then. I'm not entirely sure whether he's the kind of man who's going to, well, he's not the kind of man who's going to do it consistently, is he? So, yeah, he played well, but I'm still not convinced by him.
I was surprised as anyone that Kilgallen came in. He wasn't the most Kilgallen-like of performances. Well, he kind of stepped up a little bit. Certainly no surprise to see Bramble completely out. And I think everyone has just got kind of used to the fact that, well, you know, Carlos Cuellar's going to come in, because that's what happens. And it was almost like I just kind of briefly forgot that we have a fresh set of eyes on the players. We might be able to do something different with them or see something that other managers didn't. I'm not saying Kilgallen's the fucking saviour or anything, and I still expect him to go on a free at the end of the season. But, you know, he's someone that's got something to play for, you know, a future at the club. And Bramble has as well, and he was doing bugger all. So...
Yeah, Titus, I think that we're all at the end of the like road with him. I don't think that there's a single person out there who can still be arsed with him.
Let's hope there is in the summer. And how much do you put in Danny Graham was injured?
Mm.
He had a slight injury.
Mm.
Not at all.
We'll have
there's
to
a slight injury
yeah.
About 2 stone.
Yeah, well,
if so, I've been injured for a while.
I think that we'll just have to wait and see. Like that one, I don't personally buy that for 1 second. That the two who we know are kind of like a little bit like unfit and Porky are the ones who were actually injured out of the blue. Mm. Yeah, I don't buy that at all. I think that he just what he thinks of as like unfit. Well, sorry, what we think of like that, he thinks of as just actually injured. Actually,
you're disabled from being able to do your job.
You're just injured. Just go away. You know?
There's not really. I mean, we've talked a fair bit about the match. There's not that much to really incident wise. Probably the only one was maybe Gardner in the first half. A lot of people saying he could have walked for that.
I thought that was a red card. I thought he got very lucky. I say lucky to get away for a booking, but you know. He's missing the next 2 games, so he's not that lucky, but he was, in terms of staying on the pitch, yeah, I thought that was the kind of thing that is normally given as a straight red. The thing that he opened the top of the ball, I think he got away with one there.
It was one where, I personally don't think that it was a red card, but I could see why it might have been, if you know what I mean. If it was a red card, I wouldn't have really argued with it, like, that much.
Yeah, I must admit, when it first happened, I was expecting the red card to come out.
Mm.
Especially as the referee seemed to dither a bit getting the card out of his pocket.
Yeah.
That's always an indication that he's looking for a red for some reason.
perhaps we should have... I think perhaps we were maybe a bit misjudged earlier in the season, talking about whether Gardner goals or Cadamore bookings, who's going to get more. I think we should have just had it as straight Gardner bookings versus Gardner goals.
Yeah.
Really taken up the mantle from Cadamore in that regard. He's really stepped up to the plate in that regard for Cadamore now.
Certainly be a lot tighter race anyway. Yeah, and, well, we'll move on to the next one. Without Gardner. Against... there's a big match on Sunday, I've heard.
Yeah.
People keep... Well, this is the thing. People keep telling me it's big. And, yes, I realise the implications, but it doesn't feel Derby-like for me. I know it's Tuesday when we're recording this, but...
I felt that. I don't know whether it's...
It feels like an important game more than a Derby.
That's exactly it. Now, I wasn't sure if that was because whether, I don't know, this year I'm in Sweden, or... And I'm sort of out, away from the Northeast, or whether it was just because this is, it feels like this isn't so much a, this isn't about Sunderland versus Newcastle. This isn't about local pride, really. It's not about getting one up on, you know, your rivals and bragging rights and all that. It just is a game where Sunderland just need to get points, and it doesn't matter who it's against. It doesn't matter that, you know, we're playing Newcastle, and if we were playing Newcastle or Fulham at the weekend, you know. We need to pick up points. And I think maybe that's possibly taken something away from it as sort of a game between two rivals. I generally found it doesn't seem to be quite the same level of intensity in the league build-up as usual.
Hang on, you both seem to say this, but I tell you what, as the week moves on, you'll start feeling more sick, like you want to have larger shifts. And then when the game comes, it'll hit you, and you'll care about see the fact that it's versus them more than you will care about the fact that we need points, because it's derby, you know. It's
I know it seems to happen every year, but
it does. Yeah, I mean, we talk about it every year.
I'm like at 0% at the minute. I really need bigging up. I'm really more conscious of the 3 points than the local pride, sort of thing at the moment. And like I say, I don't know, I'm sure Sunday morning I'll be up at 4 o'clock. That's much different than usual anyway. you know, pretty much just by the toilet. Sticking my arse in it or my face in it, I'm not really sure which. But, yeah, I don't know, I feel like I need a bit more G'ing up. At the moment, it's still early.
Well, what we really need is for a Sunderland player to go and slash on Newcastle players' tyres. I think that's the only thing that's going to G us up, really. You know, maybe De Canio can send a couple out there and, you know, just slash Stephen Taylor's tyres and then leave a message. Maybe that's what we need, yeah.
Or his face.
Either way.
You don't condone violence, but it's all right when it's Stephen Taylor. I think that's the rules, isn't it?
We also don't necessarily condone slashing of tyres.
Unless it's Stephen Taylor, then it's all right.
Yeah.
What's your nerve level at the moment? I've already gone on record of mine saying it's pretty much zero at the minute.
I'm the same as you, so, but Mike, you're in Sunderland, so what's it like with you at the moment?
Well, I never leave the house or speak to anyone except you two. So, but to be honest, I haven't really started to really feel it yet, I must admit. I just think that it's just going to be one of them. It's the longer that it actually goes on, it's just going to feel more and more Derby-esque, and people are going to start caring more and more. I think at the minute, people are still thinking about what we've seen rather than what we're going to see, because there was a lot to actually take in. Over the last fortnight or like week. So I think that, at the minute, personally, I'm not really feeling it yet. Slightly maybe, but I'm not really nervous yet at all.
I guess in their regards, they have this game on Thursday at first.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to get that out of the way before they can focus on this one. And I guess on it'll maybe be a bit later in the week before it all starts to escalate.
Yeah.
And we'll all start bricking it collectively.
Yep. The game itself, obviously we know how important it is from a league position thing and all that sort of thing, but you're going to have the men to do it. Craig Gardner's not going to be one of them. Suspended for 2 games as a result of that yellow card, which probably should have been a red. So who's going to come in?
A callback, you would think.
Are you just going straight like for like, callback, keep the rest the same, or...?
I think so. I don't see, midfield-wise, what other options we really have. I mean, Vaughan, is he fit?
I don't know.
I mean, he's fit and
even if he is fit.
Yeah, even if he is fit, he's not exactly someone who was shown that he can do well in the big game, is he? Mm. He always seems to completely choke when it's actually, you know, when we want him to actually do something of note, he completely chokes. And the like only time that he does well is when nobody really cares. You know, it's like a smaller game. It's not that important. No one's really watching. I mean, I'm not a Vaughan fan at all. I think he's a total waste of a squad number. I really do.
I was the same. I mean, I'd ideally keep it exactly the same as last week.
Yeah.
With Colwell coming in. My one doubt, which I've kind of like thought about more and talked myself over, is I'm not sure how I fancy Adam Johnson in this one. Obviously, he hasn't really done much this season, despite what he'd have you believe. But he just, nothing about him strikes me as like he's the man you want to kind of rely on in a derby. I don't know why. I'm willing to be proved wrong, and I hope he pops up and scores the winner, or at least contributes in a significant way, sort of thing. But, you know, I can see him, if we have an off day, he's going to get some shit. He's targeted at the minute.
Personally, I don't think that we can really afford to not use him, because we don't have like many who can do something. Who can
no, not at all.
Just score out of nothing or make something out of nothing. And Frawley, I think that the first half, half of the season, I think that he did fairly well. But he just, like our runs, just seems to have been his bad run. He's been absolutely awful. And I don't know if those two actually linked, if whether he makes things actually work for us or whether we've kind of like pulled him down. But I think that for all, I think that he can do more. I don't think that we can afford to and not use him if he is fit now.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really rely on him in any sense. But then if he's dropped, we can't really rely on James McLean to produce something either.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think I agree with Mike. I know I've criticised Johnson in the past for, I mean, his performances of late have been poor, but with a new manager, Rain, I don't think it would be right to give him a chance to see if he can play, you know, higher up the pitch, which seems to be where De Canio wants him, and see what he can do from there. And he can produce something from nothing, either, you know, like against Man City at home, which was literally for nothing. And I'm inclined to agree that we can't really afford to drop someone who can be such a big creative threat.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly owes us one. It was, we don't know which one is going to turn up. But all that's going through my mind is, because I know he's getting a hell of a lot of shit from people at the minute. And, you know, some of the chances he's missed recently, you think, if that's in the derby, your life's not going to be worth living. There was a couple against Chelsea, and there's been others as well, but fully hope he proves me, he has me eating my own hat come, 3 o'clock Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Probably even earlier than that. So, we're going like for like there. Nobody falling for the calls for McLean to come in for Larson on the left? I'm not.
Not really.
I can see the point,
yeah.
But
yeah.
It would be too gung-ho for me, possibly.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it could work, but yeah, I'd be happy to keep Larson in right now. Again, I think McLean's one of those ones who he was, you know, we always used to say about players like Myler and how when a player was out of the team for quite a long time, we always thought he was a lot better than he was, or that he would come in and perform well. And sometimes I think, like a couple of weeks ago, I was really sort of clamouring for McLean to get a chance. And then he kind of played a couple of games, put in a lot of effort, but didn't really have a lot of quality there. So I sort of imagine it would be something similar if he came in. But he is an option, at least.
I mean, for me, the reason that Seb has to play is because a free kicks from the, what size? Well, from the side that...
From either side.
Well, no, what I mean is, you know when we got that a really, really late sort of like corner?
Ah.
And Phil Bard took it. there was nobody else. Larson had gone. Gardner.
Well, Johnson went over for it, and then Bosley was like, "No, I've got this." But...
it's like this can't be allowed to happen again. Phil Bosley can't be allowed to take corners again. So Larson therefore has to play.
Yeah, that was a bizarre move.
Yeah,
so bizarre. I'd hope to erase it from my memory. I'm
shitting myself slightly about Bosley because he is exactly the kind of person who would get sent off in this game.
Well, he has done.
Yeah, I mean, he has done for a really bad challenge as well. But he just he really can be just the kind who'll put in a silly tackle considering someone always gets sent off in this game. If you're looking at a Sunderland player now with Gardner out, you'd look at Bardsley as a... Or have for him to do... Or, you know, considering the amount of penalties that we've conceded at St. James's in recent years, but you could easily see Bardsley bringing someone down. And anything worries me at the back, it's probably going to be him.
So who would you say is going to be our game winner if we win? Who's going to be the man that's going to make the difference? Who are we backing?
I'm going to go slightly left field and say maybe... It'll be maybe Alfie.
A
corner, a scrappy little goal, and he's just going to come through and smack it in out of absolutely nowhere.
I don't think anything else would make me happier than that. Than just Alfie popping up with a goal, I'd like to see that happen. I mean, I'd like to see anyone score, but it would be nice if he got the goal to sort of, you know, match his effort of late. I guess... You look at someone like Sessegnon again to produce something good, to produce another good performance. Even Johnson could come in and do something, you know. But in general, I mean, there isn't a lot there in terms of match wingers. I guess you're looking at the usual suspects to kind of produce something. You'd like to see your Sessegnon, your Johnson's...
Wickham?
Wickham could his moment. You never know.
Maybe Tammy Graham off the bench.
What a moment that would be.
That would be brilliant. Oh.
There'd be a lot of people taking back their words.
Yeah. And then he could wear a t-shirt that just fucking slags off Michael Chopper.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting wound up about Chopper at the minute.
It's best not to. He's a fucking moron.
I know. I just don't see how you can let yourself get wound up by that at all.
Yeah.
You know, we knew what we were getting ourselves into with him. Do you know what I mean? So, I'm looking at, like, you know, like Luke says, match winner style, if you want to pick out someone you think could be the one to get, provide the crucial moment, anyway, it's obviously down to, like, Sessegnon, Wickham and Johnson and that. I'm thinking there's going to be... It's going to be somebody's time to shine.
Mm.
Well, not necessarily time to shine, but an unlikely hero of sorts. Mm. I think that's the better phrase for it.
Ryan Opel.
Now relegated below Jordan Laidler.
Oh, yeah.
in the pecking order. Yeah, I'm thinking, much like Mike, some sort of scrappy goal. Maybe he's a bit of a scramble after a corner. I don't know. My vision is a corner comes in, Krull comes out, collides with the defender, drops the ball, and Matt Kilgallen taps home.
with one of his Ramonas.
That would be even better. That would be superb. And he kind of doesn't really even realise what he's done. He doesn't quite manage to celebrate properly, and by the time he's thought of something, the moment's gone.
Well, have you ever noticed that he never actually looks like there's anything happening inside his head? The eyes are open, but there's no thought in his head whatsoever. I just think he's a strange looking bloke, really.
So yeah, he's going to be my unlikely hero, at least for part of the game anyway. I can't, you know, not really legislate for his defending, really. I can see someone like that completely out there scoring. We might as well get straight into the predictions then, since that leads on nicely. Predicting, I want a bit of a fuller prediction than just 2-1 or whatever. So somebody shoot from the hip.
I do think Newcastle are actually sort of. I think they've got a better team, but I have real reservations about Pardew as a manager. So,
is that your way of saying he's shit?
Yeah, I think
it is. Just say he's shit.
Alan Pardew is shit.
There we go. That's
yeah,
bad.
See, I'm sick. Keep that little soundbite and play it to Newcastle fans. And Alan Pardew is shit. But you know what? I'm going to say I don't know. I can never think these words. Can you come back to me? Give me a finger. I'll come back to me.
Come on then, Mike.
All right. What I'll say then is the game will start off quick, really quick. Both sides going really, really for it. And then it'll obviously get really slow and become really, really scrappy because we are unfit and shit. And they've had the Thursday game, which will hopefully end in total heartbreak and stuff. And so as the game goes on, it'll become scrappier and scrappier. And then someone for us will actually win it with a scrappy goal fairly late on, 80 minutes plus.
I'm going to... What's the score?
1-0.
1-0. I'm going to go for, much like you say, it's going to start full of bluster.
Mm.
I see a Sunderland player getting sent off in the first half an hour.
Oof.
Don't know why. Not necessarily a penalty or something like that. A Gardner-esque tackle from the Chelsea game by someone else gets punished more harshly. I can see that being James McLean if he starts. I could see it being Sessegnon. I'm gonna plump for, I think, Bardsley. He's gonna, you know, there'll be the early bluster for the first 10-15 minutes. Then things might calm down a bit, and somebody's gonna think, I need to liven this up a bit. It's going to be him, he's going to make it too lively, and he's going to get himself sent off. From then on, it's pretty much backs to the walls for us. I can see Newcastle taking the lead, probably in the second half, or on the cusp of half-time. Pops Mac Gilgallon with one of our rare corners that we get in the second half after being under the cosh. Gilgallon comes in, sweeps home from about a yard out, hasn't got a bloody clue what's going on, but he did it. And after about a minute and a half, he realises he scored a goal, and that's really good. And then Newcastle go on to lament how many chances they had, and we spend the best part of next week being told by Mags just how much better they were because of how many shots on target they had and how much possession they had, and all that sort of thing that people talk about a lot when they didn't win.
And that we are really dirty.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Newcastle will actually be the one to get a first half sending off.
Who are you going for?
I don't know. Maybe, you know what, I'd love it to be Stephen Taylor, but maybe, I don't know. Hang on, let me have a look at this. I've got no reason behind this. I'm just picking someone at random. Anita. I'm going to say Vernon Anita. I don't know why. Vernon Anita. He's going to get sent off. And then... then Shola Amiobi will miss a sitter. The ball will be carried over by the own Messiah complex of his fans into the stands from an open goal. Sunderland will score early in the first half through Connor Wickham, and then Bardsley will be sent off with 15 minutes left. They'll absolutely batter us for the last 15 minutes. Mignolet will make a world-class save in the dying 5 minutes, last 5 minutes, and we'll hang on by the skin of our teeth and win 1-0.
I'd very much like that.
Yeah. And more importantly, Shola Amiobi won't score.
He is open. There's not much chance of that, though.
I just can't stand it. I just don't think I'd handle another Shola Amiobi goal. Unless, you know, if it's like an actual crucial goal.
Yeah, you can score one. You can have a late consolation if you want.
Yeah, you can have that. If anything, that would be more insulting to him, you know. That would almost be better somehow.
Question of the week. There'll be more derby build-up on the site during the week if you want to get your teeth into that. Question of the week this week. What we've been looking at is, quite simply, 1 year from today, will Paolo Di Canio still be our manager? What do you reckon?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Well, nobody does. It's a guessing game.
genuinely, like, honestly, like, if he is here 1 year from now, he won't be here much longer than 1 year from now. It's not that he'll do a bad job, it's just that he's so volatile. Like, I don't think he has it in him to be pragmatic and to sort of, you know, sort of let things go with a player, you know. It's sort of inevitable. Whether or not it'll be this time next year, I couldn't see it, but it definitely won't be much longer than that. I could easily see him keeping us up and then, but not being here this time next year.
I don't think he will. I'd like him to be, if things are going well, but much like, I don't think he'll outstay his welcome. I think the not necessarily the first sign of trouble, but he's not going to be a man that sticks around and takes the shit from the fans. If they do turn on him eventually, he'll be more like, you know, like Martin O'Neill was very much stood in the face of it and it's like, it's all right, I'll turn it round. I think he'll just say, all right, if you're going to be a dick, then fuck off. I'll just leave. So yeah, anyway, I think that
he will be here, because I think that he really, really wants it, and I don't think that he can walk out on us. If he wants it as much as he actually seems to, then he can't really afford to walk out at a club in, like I'm not going to say in, like, this league, but of this, like, size. Can't afford to actually do it.
But, you know, he's never struck me as, you know, being the most sort of a... he's never really struck me in that sense of a... as if, you know, he really fully... He can be quite a self-destructive character in it, I guess, and, you know, he's always... possibly could, maybe he's not just fully on, really, just in a heat of a moment, really, you know?
Yeah, but hang on, are we assuming here that it's that he's going to fail?
No,
that things are going to go really badly, he isn't going to actually win games, the fans will turn, you know, he'll have things to get really, really mad about. I actually think that he's going to do pretty well.
It's not that he might not do well, but he was doing well at Swindon when he walked out, you know? Yeah, and I know it's a
different
size.
He can afford to walk out on Blue Swindon, though.
I know it's a different size club, but it's just him as a character. Like, I don't think... If for example, you know, the Swindon former chief executive claimed he managed by hand grenade, and that he had to sort of clear up... And I know it could just be an old chief executive, you know, coming out with his, you know, what he said, and the chairman at the time, Stephen Rea, has always been very defensive of Di Canio, but I'm just not sure if he can really, if it's possible that he won't fall out with the board at some point. Plus, you know, he has a habit of criticising players, and I don't think he can get away with that in the Premier League.
I think that you can't.
Coming out in the press and you know, or bringing up 20 minutes, or...
He already has went out and actually said that goal was his fault.
He did?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Rose, for the, like, first goal. He actually said that goal was his fault. So, yeah, of course he can. I mean, he can't come out and say, this guy is shit.
No,
yeah, but he can come out and say that was his fault. We're gonna have him see where he actually failed there and all this. And he actually has done that, and he can do that. I just think that, you know, Swindon, he was the big name there. He was larger than them. He could afford to do whatever he wanted. He could afford to do whatever was best for him. Here, he needs to, you know, if he does actually want to actually do this, he needs us more than we need him. And he'll know that, because you can say, like, anything about him, that, but one thing that you can't say is that he's thick. He's obviously extremely clever.
No, I agree, he's definitely not a stupid man, but at the same time, I mean, just going on his sort of his past behaviour and his past character, you know, he is very volatile, and he has history of it, and if he can be pragmatic and he can, you know, not let his ego get in the way of things, then, yeah, he will be here for a lot longer. But I still need to see a lot more evidence before I can firmly reach that position.
Some other folks chipped in on this, and they're all on Facebook.
No, weird.
Well, thanks for getting involved, Facebook. The first comment to Reno is from Jim Holborn, who says, I think SAFC can and will be his chance to become a top manager. Hopefully the events of the next 24 months will do this, and I think it will be as long as he keeps out the prima donnas. There you go. Not really sure what he's on about. But there you go.
Well, you know, David Bourne's, you know what he can be like. He's such a prima donna.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't really have any out.
No.
I wish we kind of did, because most of them are good at football. David Ruddock says, even if we go down, Decanio should be given next season. It's not his fault what has happened to our squad. That's all down to the football genius Martin O'Neill. But hopefully we won't, and it won't be an issue. The players have quality, even if the genius says they don't. We have a lot of internationals and ex-internationals, and players that have done well in the top flight previously. With some fitness and proper motivation, who knows where they could go. Damning of Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, he was a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, since O'Neill came out, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff about, you know, the training regime that leaves you a bit unsure of really letting know how old-fashioned maybe O'Neill was. I mean, I still think O'Neill's a good manager. I just don't think it worked out from there. But after reading up on, you know, a lot of the way training would take place and the way training and the fitness regimes were at Sunderland, I can maybe see why it didn't work out now.
We had a little poll on the site too, and SB Nation once again can't count, because 69% said yes and 30% said no. 1% lost in the matrix. So there you go, that's question of the week. Be another one next week. There wasn't much news at the start, and I doubt any has happened in the last hour or so. That's pretty much about as interesting as the news gets, to be honest, this week.
Oh, Margaret Thatcher's died.
Has she really?
Yeah.
You would have thought there'd been people saying something about that.
Very odd, really, yeah. Twitter completely empty on the subject.
Yeah.
We made something about that, didn't we? We mentioned that somewhere. I don't know who it was.
It was me.
Was it you, was it?
Yeah.
I was just thinking. See, I had my money on a Weatherspoon.
No, he's too drunk, I think.
But I was thinking, that's a little bit...
Well, you know, it went down superbly. With people saying it was in bad taste. Things like that. Well, fuck you. To be honest. So, you know, like, you can just follow someone else and don't really bother me. Yeah, we'll be doing that from time to time. So, on the site this week, we got reaction from Chelsea, Carl Jones looks into the future, Captain's blog, a look at our relegation rivals, and we'll obviously be building up to and covering in depth the Tyne-Wear derby. That's going to be a big one. Maybe we'll all be a bit more excited about it by Sunday. I'm absolutely sure we will be. It's regardless of how you feel at the moment, you will get sucked into it.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time. Sometimes it's early in the week, sometimes it's late, sometimes it's half an hour before kickoff.
But it
does get you.
The bug. It will come, I guess. It will come, and we'll all be. I'm probably not going to look forward to it, am I?
I don't think anyone looks. Well, do we look forward to it?
No one enjoys it. No one enjoys this match, do they? I mean,
Marge do.
Marge
always loves it.
We'll have plenty of coverage of that on RokerReport.com. Get yourself involved. And that'll do it. 98 is done. It's here to our people in the way you choose. Anyone?
I just can't really be asked.
Well, this is a fantastic ending.
Fuck you, go follow someone else.
Exactly. Mike, just ignoring everyone, are you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
In your own bubble.
Yeah.
Right, well, we'll say ta-ra. And, of course, because it's Derby Week, fuck the Mags. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.